Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will examine the 14th chapter in the Book of Job, in which Eov concludes his elaborate response to the first round of dialogues presented by his three friends. As he had done before, Eov extrapolates from his own experience generalizations about the human condition, and bemoans the fate of all people who seek meaning in their all-too-short lives. He opens this section by juxtaposing the frailty of mortal man with the longevity of trees, and then with the eternity of God. He opens this chapter in verses 1 and 2 as follows. Adam yelud isha k'tzar yamim usvarogis. Ketzitz yatza vayimal, vayivrach katzel velo yamod. Man who is born of woman is short of days and full of turmoil. Like a flower he comes forth, then withers. Like a fleeting shadow he does not endure. Rashi expands on this verse and explains Eov's complaint, given that the brevity and vulnerability of a human's life, why would God even bother to scrutinize and judge his actions? And therefore he complains in verse 3, Afal ze pakachta enecha, ve'oti tavi b'mishpat imach. Ramban notes that in the end of the previous chapter, Eov acknowledged a possible solution for his suffering and raised the possibility that it is a belated reprisal from some long-forgotten sins of his youth. However, he asks, with death being inevitable, and in his case, imminent, why does Hashem need to intervene and torture such an impotent an insignificant being? Furthermore, mi yiten tahor mitame lo echad. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? Not one. Rashi explains that by asking who can come out pure when conceived in impurity, that Eov is alluding to the theory of original sin, namely, that from conception, every fetus is tainted, and consequently, it is unjust to punish the offspring for a flaw over which he had no control. Eov then argues, given that his days on earth are limited, and his lifespan is predetermined and known only to God, why not let him spend his short time without pain? He'll die sooner rather than later, so let him complete his sentence on earth and delay his recompense, be it reward or punishment, for afterwards. He therefore says, a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time, like a hired laborer. After all, he is unlike the tree, who can grow again even after the lumberjack cuts it down. So he tells us in verses 7 through 9, Ki yesh la'etz tikva, im yekaret ve'od yachlif, ve'yonakto lo techdal, im yaskin ba'aretz shorsho, ובאפר ימות גזעו, מריח מים יפריח, ועשה קציר כמונתה. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud, and put forth new limbs, like a plant. At the mere scent of rain, the tree stump begins to revive. It will again give forth flowers and fruit. but man fades into decrepitude, and in his dotage can no longer bear fruit, and when he dies, he cannot be revived. Unlike the trees, verse 10 asserts, but a man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. Iov describes the finality of death in the following verses. Azlu maim min yam, v'na'ar yecherav v'yavesh, v'ish shachav v'lo yakum, ad bilti shamayim lo yakitzu, v'lo ye'oru mishnatam. As the water of a lake dries up, or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so a man lies down and does not rise again. Until the heavens are no more, people will not awake or be roused from their eternal sleep. Malbim explains these verses somewhat differently. You can water a corpse until the rivers run dry, but it won't resuscitate. Such is the law of nature under the heavens. The dead do not revive, and they certainly don't return to earth. And if it were possible, as Zofar intimated, that after death the soul that left the buried corpse can be reincarnated, Iov responds by declaring, Alevai, I wished, and continues to wistfully describe such a fanciful scenario in verses 13 through 15. Mi yiten b'she'ol tatzpineni, tastireni ad shuv apecha, tashit lichok v'tizkereni. Im yamut gever hayichye, kol yemei tzva'i ayachel ad bo chalifati, תקרא ואנוכי יענך, למעשה ידך תחשוף. Ah, if only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger has passed. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. And then a moment of doubt. If someone dies, will they live again? Ah, if only it were true. Then all the days of my heart service, I will wait for my renewal to come. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. Iov veers between wishful thinking and bitter skepticism. He imagines a better world in which God loves man and longs for a relationship with him, calling him as he called Adam. Ayeka, where are you? And Iov would not hide as Adam did. He would answer, Hineini, as the guiltless tzaddikim did. Here I am. Iov thinks, if there is life after death, here or in another realm, if the soul enters another body and comes back to earth, then perhaps I can hope that I would receive some reparations or explanation for all the needless suffering I am enduring. But in the interim, all Iov can see is no rosy and hopeful scenario. Rashi explains that unlike this fantasy, Iov's experience indicates that God stalks man, searching for faults and punishing him even before he has a chance to rebel. In verses 16 through 17, he describes his reality. Ki ata tzatai tispo, lo tishmor al chatati, chatum bitzror pish'i, vatitpol al avoni. But now you count my steps, though you do not even wait for my sin. The crime I'm accused of is tightly sealed, and you heap upon me iniquity. Ibn Ezra explains, vatitpol al avoni, and interprets it according to Tehillim in the 119th Psalm. Taflu alai sheker, which means they forged false indictments upon me. Accordingly, Iov accuses God, as well as his friends, of contriving an accusation turning even minor human error with charges of criminal intent. Iov then compares the fate of mortal man to the erosion of mountains and the shifting of sands. Ulam har nofel yibol, v'tzur ye'atak mimkomo, avanim shachaku mayim, tishtof sficheha afar aretz, v'tikvat enosh he'evadeta. According to Mitsudot, the comparison suggests that, quote, as a mountain erodes and crumbles, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones, and torrents wash away the soil, so you destroy a person's hope. Rashi, on the other hand, suggests that Iov is contrasting, not comparing, the fate of man with that of mountains and rocks. Malbim elaborates on this interpretation. Though mountains erode, avalanches crash and break stones down into dust, water wears away rocks, and their particles wash over the riverbanks, but the stuff from which they were made remains unchanged. It remains soil in which seeds can germinate and grow. They've changed shape, the rocks and the mountains, but they remain to see another day, another year. But man's hope dies with him. Once he leaves the earth, he does not return, as Iov asserts in the closing verses of this chapter. You overpower them once and for all, and they are gone. You change their countenance and send them away. If their children are honored, they do not know it. If their offspring are brought low, they do not see it. They feel only the pain of their own bodies and mourn only for themselves. Rashi explains that Iov asserts that even if the soul is eternal, it becomes unaware of the events going on earth, and it is cut off from its family and its friends. Amos Chacham notes that some believe that if a person leaves behind children who carry on his name and live honorably, the pain of dying is eased. Perhaps that is why the death of the saintly forefathers is described in the Torah as V'ne'esaf elamav, he was gathered unto his people, as the soul and the name of tzaddikim lives on through their children. However, Iov's children were all killed, and in his agony, he feels utterly isolated, trapped in loneliness that he cannot imagine can be ameliorated by death. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.